Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. This is God's word. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciple went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. So when Jesus was approaching the city, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." How did Jesus know that? I mean, the two that he sends to get the donkey, those two were kind of the first ones into town. So how did Jesus know that right as they came into town, they're going to see this donkey and foal there? That's kind of spooky. How did he know that? How did he know that if anybody asked, which they did, that if they answered, as Jesus said, that would suffice? You don't have to pay them. You just tell them the Lord needs it, and he'll say, okay. How did all that work out? A lot of people who are supposed professionals, scholars, have suggested that Jesus must have made arrangements ahead of time. Well, in one sense, yes, before the creation of the world, he made the arrangements. Okay? The idea that God incarnate couldn't know what's coming, he knows he's about to die on the cross. You think he can't know about a donkey? I mean, that's just crazy. Folks are forever trying to come up with some other explanation for the supernatural. I've lived a long time, and I've seen God do so many amazing things. I would have to be willfully ignorant not to know that not only is God real, but God is kind. I've seen so many answers to prayer. Now, let me tell you, I've had plenty of problems. I've had plenty of things that didn't go the way I wanted. I've experienced personal tragedy. But in the midst of it all, God is kind. He is faithful. And he has a plan. And it's a detailed plan. And so when Jesus says, go, and this is what you'll find, and this is what you're to do, and this is how it's going to turn out, it's because God knows this stuff. He knows. And you and I don't have to worry about all the details. We just need to be concerned with obedience. Imagine if these two had said, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, how are we going to recognize the donkey? You'll know. You'll know. You know what a donkey looks like? Okay. Wait, but how do we know which donkey? You'll know. Well, what if they say, then here's what you say. Well, what if that doesn't suffice? It'll suffice. You remember when Moses was being sent to meet with Pharaoh? It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work or not. You know, it sounds to me like a very audacious plan. God says, what's that in your hand? Oh, it's my staff. God says, throw it down. Why? I said, throw it down. Okay. Ah! What happened? He threw it down. It turned into a giant serpent. How'd you like to be standing next to a 6-foot or 8-foot snake that moments ago was a staff in your hand? Okay? God says, pick it up. What? By the tail. What? By the way, that's generally not the way to pick up a snake. I would recommend you not pick up snakes, especially poisonous snakes. But if you do, you want to get it right behind the head. Okay? Jesus tells his disciples to do something that's not nearly as scary as picking up a snake. But it involves the same principle. And that is, do as you're told. Obey. Why is it important for parents to teach their children to obey? Because it's training so that they'll know how to obey God. If you don't think it's important to teach your children to obey, then you're not reading what God says to you as parents. We need to teach our children to obey because our children need to learn that obedience is the right path. So Jesus says to his disciples, go to the city, here's what you'll find, here's what you're to do, bring those animals back to me. They went. It was exactly the way Jesus said it would be. They did what Jesus told them to do, and they brought the animals back to Jesus. And then Jesus makes this awkward-looking entrance to the city. He's not just riding on a donkey, which in and of itself would be kind of, you know, anybody ever ride on a donkey? Okay. They're not princely animals, generally speaking. Okay, I mean, you've seen people on beautiful mounts. You know, these animals that just make anybody can look good on a horse like that, all right? And then you kind of lose that whole effect if you're on a donkey. Well, Jesus wasn't on a donkey. He was on the foal of a donkey. He was on a young, never ridden baby donkey. What could be more humiliating than riding into town on the foal of a donkey? How about being beaten, stripped naked, nailed to a cross to die, and having people spitting on you, and mocking you? Hosanna. Save. He will. He did. You see, we look at this and we say, why would God choose this? Why would God choose this? Why should he die for us? Let me just tell you something. We're not that great. We're not that cute. We're not that pretty. We're not that handsome. We're not that smart. We're not that virtuous. Why would he die for us? The Bible says it's because he loves us. He loves us. And that, folks, is the gospel. Really, really good news for sinners.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So Jesus rides on the donkey into Jerusalem, and the crowds are celebrating as he approaches. They've seen miracles. They've heard stories. They have high expectations. They did not understand exactly what was happening, or certainly not what was about to happen. But this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so when Jesus entered Jerusalem, verse 10, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Within the week, there would be crowds shouting once again. But instead of saying, Hosanna, they'd be saying, crucify him. Let me tell you something. If your goal is to be popular, you got a bad goal. Opinion changes. People go from being heroes to being the butt of jokes. People go from being celebrated to being despised. People go from being mighty to either being dead or old. The adulation of the crowd does not last. Really doesn't. You're going to spend forever somewhere. You're going to spend forever somewhere. And all that's going to matter is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not going to matter how big a house you lived in. It's not going to matter what kind of car you drove. It's not going to matter how expensive your clothes were or your sports gear or your electronics. It's not going to matter what level you got to on a video game. It's just not going to matter. It's not going to matter how many people thought you were wonderful or smart or clever or witty or beautiful. It's not going to matter. What's going to matter is your relationship with Jesus Christ, because that determines whether you are in paradise or in hell. Just your relationship with Him. It's what it all comes down to. When Jesus came into town, the crowds thought He was wonderful. And Jesus went up to the temple, the center of religious power. And people had turned it into a business enterprise. And they were selling stuff and ripping people off. And the religious leaders were getting a cut. And Jesus did something a lot of folks think perhaps was not appropriate. He took the tables where they were doing their business, and He flipped them over. And He drove those crooks out of His Father's house. Within the week, those religious leaders would have Jesus nailed to a cross. Jesus wasn't worried, because He knew whose house it was. And He knew He was going to die. And He wasn't unwilling to do what needed to be done. Whether it was cleaning house, or whether it was cleaning us. The only way that we could be made clean, the only way that the garbage could be gotten out of us, the only way that we could be changed and forgiven was Jesus dying on the cross. And He knew that's what He was going to do. In the previous chapter, He again told His disciples, "We're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn Him to death and will turn Him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, He will be raised to life." Jesus knew exactly what was coming, and He did exactly what the Father told Him to do. He obeyed. He obeyed. And you and I must obey. The blind and the lame came to Him at the temple, and He healed them. "Where do you get this authority? Where do you get this power?" they asked on another occasion. And Jesus said, "I only do what the Father tells me to do." Perfect obedience. That's why the power flowed. Chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things He did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They were indignant. Isn't that interesting? I love the way Matthew puts it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When they saw the wonderful things He did, they were upset. Have you ever been upset because God's doing something wonderful, but it's not what you had planned? Doesn't make you look good? There was a famous preacher and author from South Africa, greatly honored because of his wonderful writing about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and prayer, and I mean, he was a great guy. You know, one of the things he confessed? He prayed for decades that God would send revival to his country. And when God sent revival, he became one of the strongest opponents of what was going on. And he would later repent of that and confess that. Well, what happened? Well, revival didn't come the way he wanted it. It didn't come in a way that had him as one of the movers and shakers in it. And so he was upset by it because it wasn't going according to his plan. Jesus shows up in Jerusalem, and instead of going to the chief priests and teachers of the law and saying, guys, can I meet with you? We need to strategize, and I just really want to get your input. And he didn't do that. He shows up in Jerusalem, goes to the temple, and flips out. Okay? He didn't lose his mind. He turned everything upside down because they weren't doing what the Father says. Jesus would respond to these religious leaders by saying what he said so often. Have you never read? Look at verse 16. The religious leaders indignantly said, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" Jesus replied, "Yes." "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" Do you want to know what God's up to? Read. You want to know what God wants? Read. You want to know what you need to be doing with your life? Read. "Well, I just wish I knew the will of God." Well, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. How are you doing with those things?
I was thinking more in terms of which job I ought to take and so forth.
Okay. Are you rejoicing always?
Well, not always.
Okay, well, need to work on that. Are you praying constantly? Well, not constantly. Well, you need to work on that. Are you giving thanks in all things? Well, not in all things. Well, you need to work on that, because that's God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I'll promise you this based on God's word. If you'll do what you know he says you are supposed to be doing, he'll take care of the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Promise. That's God's promise. I don't have to make these promises up. It's God's promise. I'm telling you what God says. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Hallelujah. I am so grateful because there are so many billions of things I can't control. Okay? And sometimes we get kind of crazy in our thinking and think we've got to get everything under control. And God comes along and goes, and all our dominoes go, and we go, "Oh, whoa, 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 wait. Why'd you do that?" God says, "Seek first my kingdom, my righteousness. I'll take care of everything else. Everything else will be added to you." Okay, we're going up to Jerusalem. What should we do? You two, go into town. You're going to find a donkey and her foal. Bring them to me. That doesn't sound like a plan, but it was. And it was to fulfill what God had planned and declared generations before. Don't be afraid to do what he says. Just obey him. Just obey him. Just obey him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.